sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. Patricia, a sexual authenticity coach and a Jersey girl turned Minnesotan, and I, Judy, a health educator, advocate, and podcaster, a lifelong Minnesota girl, get together and talk about sex. In all of its myriad of forms and flavors, we are going to pull topics out of our hats, grab items from the news, and take questions submitted by you, the listener. Because sex matter so much. Most of us can use a little help getting authentic with our sexual selves, and when we do, we all benefit. So we invite you to join us. Why? To remind us all, and perhaps better stated, help us know that sex matters. Period. Welcome to episode 3 of Sex Matters.
Period.
Yeah. Yay! This one we're doing on our computers, so this isn't live in person. This is kind of different and fun.
Yeah, long distance.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's all right. Spread the good word through the interweb lines.
That's right.
First of all, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I am enjoying summer. The weather is finally warm. Actually, it's getting too warm, so I'm inside quite often in the air conditioning. You know, all winter, I just complained about how cold it was. So now I am regularly outside nude sunbathing.
Nice.
Regularly in my 10 acres of woods out here in the middle of nowhere. And it's only me and the bears and the deer and the squirrels. So
that's delightful.
It's a good segue into what we're talking about.
It sure is. I love that you have the space that you can do that and feel good about doing that. I know I knew a woman years ago who had a very high fenced in backyard, and for some reason her neighbor peeked over and caught her and her husband having sex in their yard, and it didn't please her. But I remember looking at her fence going, well, if you were looking over the fence, it was you know if you don't want to see what's on the other side, don't work to peek over, because it was
no kidding. My gosh.
So I wasn't like
your own business, people.
Right? Exactly. So we had an interesting news article pop up that we thought would be fun to explore about a woman in Duluth who was sunbathing topless on one of our beaches here, Park Point Beach. And she's apparently been doing this for quite a while. And this time somebody got upset and asked her to put her top back on, and she didn't. And then they eventually called the police. The police talked to her, and basically they weren't confident that they could arrest her because they weren't sure she was breaking the law.
Yay.
I am glad that they went on that side of things instead of just saying, well, we don't know what to do, so we're going to take you in. Instead, they said, let's try to figure this out. It sounds like I obviously wasn't there, but I guess I'm happy to see that they went that direction. And so it's bringing up a lot of things about the law and the ambiguity of the language. And then it's also, and I haven't seen a lot of this on Facebook, I am so fascinated to hear discussions, read discussions about this, because I'm trying to figure out what I think about this. Like, in my mind, I'm like, whatever, she's doing her own thing, who cares? And apparently that's a bunch of other people, that's their opinion too. And the woman in the video that I saw was very much about saying, well, we need to know the law so we know how to follow the law, right? Like, she didn't even seem like she was trying to push that as much as saying, I'm not doing anything unlawful.
Well, I give her a lot of credit for knowing the law enough to get out of a confrontation. So she's been doing this for 2 years, which is what the article says, 2 years. She had to have thought about the idea that perhaps she could be confronted. So she had to have this law and the wording of the law in her back pocket because it wasn't in her shirt pocket, obviously, and be able to rattle it off, recite it, or defend it, defend against it per her actions. So I give her a lot of props for knowing whether it's a loophole or whether it's the limitations, or I don't know, you know, maybe she's a lawyer herself, who knows. But I think it's a very interesting thing to talk about, especially around the idea that there's so many people that are protesting for this, the whole idea of freeing the nipple, why men can be on a beach without a top on, but a woman can't. I mean, that's just, it seems archaic in this day and age that it's so judged and so objective, women are so objectified even still in this way. However, now you say yourself, you don't know how you feel about this. I was just talking about this on another, in another platform, and I brought up the point, well, what would really happen in our society if all of a sudden we were able to free our nipples as women? How much more objectification would that bring to the scene? How much more, how many more issues would that cause with harassment and different things like that? Not that it should be, but it will ramp things up tremendously, because men are really wired to be visually, their actual sexual impulses are wired to be visually stimulated. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that isn't part of covering the nipple from long, long time ago, but I think that we don't provide enough places for people to be able to express themselves and be naked if they want to be, legally or safely. You know, if you don't want your children to see boobs, maybe take your children to a different, you know, a different beach, or, you know, I don't really know. It's kind of hard to say, because here we are, you and I, Judy, we're trying to normalize sex, right? And normalize the body, the human body, and reduce the body shaming. Mm-hmm. And yet here is this woman who, going about her own business, just wants to lay without an audience, not trying to push it on anybody. And it becomes a problem because somebody else is judging or somebody else is offended simply by her presence.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting because, again, like in this case, I know one Facebook comment that I saw about this was a woman saying it's not comfortable for her kids to see another woman's breasts. And I want to ask more questions about that. Like, I want to know what is uncomfortable about that. And is it because we are just so uncomfortable, we don't have a description of how to say, because I think sometimes the language, I don't think we have enough language. Like, I was listening to, I should go find this and we should talk about it on the podcast. Sarah Silverman was giving sex advice to a situation with a child about how to deal with, I think it was a kid, you know, touching themselves. And she gave this brilliant and magnificent advice with great language. And I thought, how much of it is that we just don't talk about some of this stuff in our own culture, that when it comes to talking to the kids, we just don't know what to say. And if we had age appropriate or kind of at least directives of like literal things to say, because parents who I hear who are comfortable with things like this, who have the language, they've figured out the verbiage, it just comes out of them like no big, and it's not an issue, and everybody is comfortable, but it's the discomfort. And I have a friend who very comfortable with everything, and she says, you know, even sometimes coming up with stuff with my kids, I'll surprise myself in things that are not comfortable to say. And she's like, and I think of myself as very open and accepting, and you know, so I'm curious about how much of that is just, yeah, if we were to free the nipple, we'd have this chaotic ramp of craziness.
And think about the car accidents. That's what I am like. when can you free the nipple? Can you drive while you don't have a top on? Mm-hmm. Would that cause accidents?
Right.
You know, or the grocery store. everybody's nipples are hard because they're gone through the frozen food section or whatever. And the guys, you know, some men, I just feel like it's a tremendous amount of pressure to put on men to not look.
Right.
You know, it would be a really, really difficult thing.
Right.
And not to say that they couldn't, but there are some men who are not aware of how Neanderthal they can be. And they just are still full of that testosterone, the drive, the sexual hormones that just are wired for our procreation and our evolution. You know, we're just meant to be sexual creatures. So yeah, I don't know. I guess, so I'm thinking, like, with the being topless on the beach, how does that relate to, say, a topless bar?
Mm. Right.
Or a burlesque show.
Right.
And a burlesque show, they have the pasties on the nipples, but otherwise they're pretty close to naked.
Hanging out there.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Or what's to say a G-string covers enough? I mean, what is enough?
Right. Right. Well, and a friend of mine made some comment of, I don't even remember what happened or what we were talking about, but I was basically talking about, you know, if I was in my bra and how horrible that would be. And he's like, well, whatever, it covers more than a bikini, than many bikini tops, you know?
Right.
And why? But it's the bra, so you're not supposed to see it, right? And I, you know, and I don't have the traditional bikini body, but again, I think we need to open up to that much, much more too. But I'm just speaking kind of in the culture that we currently live in, right? That we're trying to, like, walk our way out of a little bit. So there's that intent piece, which this woman, you know, this woman wasn't intending to do anything more. And that was part of the story, was nudity, and she wasn't nude, she's topless, but she also wasn't doing it for anybody else. She wasn't doing it in front of people, for an audience. Right.
To draw attention. It was not to draw attention.
Right. Where the burlesque shows, obviously, you know, that's what they're there for. Right.
Yeah.
I want to throw this out there too, because I was having a conversation with one of my friends about this, and he said, from a male perspective, he said, it's really interesting in that, he said, if I were to wear to work, like, women can wear, a spaghetti strap or at least a sleeveless shirt, where he says, if I were to do that, that would be seen as inappropriate as a man.
Huh.
And I think that that's kind of, like, I can think that, I think that that's kind of true. I think that
it's expectation. That's an expectation. That's not really, I don't think that's quite the same. Do you?
Because I don't know.
He could still unbutton his shirt and just take his shirt off. And if he wanted to outside over his lunch break, he could take his shirt off if he wanted.
That is totally true. Yeah. And but it is an interesting thing where the expectation inside is that if he were to do that, that would be really weird.
Yeah, it would be weird. Right. No. But not inappropriate.
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. Like, where that's a fine line, right? Like, how people feel about the weird and inappropriate. Like, I have this pair of what I call them happy pants. So I wear them when it's cold outside. Uh-huh. And also I used to live in a place where I had to cross the street by a big puddle. And so if I didn't wear them and somebody splashed me, my clothes were destroyed, where if I had these on, I was fine, but they're also very warm. Well, I went to work one day and I didn't really think about this because I wasn't nude. I wasn't doing anything inappropriate. So I went to my desk at my job and I took my pants off, my basically snow pants.
Yeah.
And I made people around me really uncomfortable. And I was like, they were like, do you have to do that here? And I'm like, okay, this is clearly just
like taking your coat off.
Right. Exactly. So, like, now I'm weirdly uncomfortable taking off my snow pants, even though I'm totally clothed underneath. It's not even like I had a dress on. I had a pair of pants, you know? So wow. It's fascinating what is okay, what is, and where the expectations, where is, where is,
and the intention. So right. When you talk about expectations, we're talking about external, but when we talk about intention, we're talking about internal. So what is your, your purpose in taking your happy pants off was to protect your work clothes so you would look professional in the office, to keep you warm, to guard you from the elements, you know, those kind of things, keep you from getting splashed on, make you feel happy, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, but the expectation is, how many of those people were probably judging you for what you walked in the door wearing? Mm-hmm. They were probably saying, oh, hell no, she's not wearing that to work today. Can you believe that she came to work in her happy pants? I mean, what the hell? And then when you took them off, it was like, oh, she's a decent human being again. Oh, yeah, she's acceptable. But couldn't you do that in the bathroom? Like, I mean, why do we jump through these hoops trying to just please people all the time? It's just, you know what it really boils down to is fear. And you know, I talk about this all the time. There's fear associated with individuals on both sides of that coin. There's fear in their intention and there's fear in their expectations. So the lady who was at the beach, and she was simply going there to take her top off and sunbathe, her intention may have been to just simply go and sunbathe. However, some people like to stir the soup. Some people like to push the envelope. Some people might know that this is coming. Someday I'm going to be approached about not wearing my top on this beach. You know, there are no signs that say I can't, but somebody's going to say something. So, I mean, there's the intention. What is the intention? Is it, she wasn't there to draw an audience. She wasn't there to cause a ruckus. She wasn't there. She was minding her own business, whatever. Then you have the intention of the lady with her children. So was her intention, or her intention behind her expectation, was it to protect her children? And if that was the case, what from? What was she afraid of? Will they turn into immediate perverts because they saw a woman's boobs? You know, will they turn to pillars of salt because it's immoral? Will her little 10-year-old immediately want to go over and hump the lady because he sees boobs? I mean, like, honestly, what is the fear behind seeing somebody in their natural state? Obviously, the lady probably needs to put National Geographic on for a while, teach her children at home what the human body is, why gawking isn't appropriate, you know, or just normalize sex. This is our point, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
As a parent, if you can't teach your children to be non-judgmental and accepting, they're going to have a very challenging time in this day and age, no matter what. Because whether it's a topless woman on a beach, or it's LGBTQ, or it's somebody with different colored hair or piercings or tattoos or whatever else, there's going to be questions. And as a parent, you need to be able to answer them.
Right. Yeah. I was thinking about that, that if it was my kid, you know, it would more be the, I want to have an answer prepared for that.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to have a good answer.
What would you
say? I don't know. I think I would like to have it more normalized in my house so that it wouldn't be such an awkward thing. Like, it wouldn't be my kid, you know, pointing to the lady and saying, mommy, she's not, you know.
Why doesn't she have a top on?
Right. I would hope that I could get past, but again, everything happens at weird times in a child's life, so you never know. But I've been thinking about that, and I don't exactly know what I would say. And that's what I'm kind of curious about. Because I think obviously it depends on a lot to me. It also depends on the kids, that your history with the kid. Where are you at with what you experience? You know, some people walk around the house without, you know, that where they're getting dressed and the kid sees them topless and it's just not a big deal. And then other people will panic when their kid, you know, opens the door.
They can't see that until they're 16 or 18,
right,
or not till they're out of my house, right?
Right.
I have an example. I was babysitting my grandson this past week, and I took him to McDonald's. And he's 4 years old, so I couldn't let him just go to the bathroom by himself, and I had to go too. And I had to keep him in the stall with me. And so I dropped my pants, and after he had peed, we flush, I dropped my pants, I go to pee. He's like, I don't want to see you pee. And I'm like, I don't want to watch you pee either. You know, but Uli has to pee just like you do, you know? So it made it not a big deal. We have to do what we have to do and move on, that kind of a thing. And also, you know, while he was here, being respectful to not knowing what he does see at home. I certainly, my office is obvious. This, you know, you're seeing my office, the listeners won't, but my office has a lot of sexual things around it. At some point he's going to see a vulva, or he's going to see nipples when he comes to visit here. And I'm hoping that it just is like art, that it's just background noise to him and it's not a big deal. But when he stays here, I wear pajamas to bed, and I usually am naked when I go to sleep. So, you know, and I don't sleep well because I have clothes on, because, you know, like I suffer for this child. It's like, but I leave that up to my daughter. So, you know, I guess as parents, we have to respect people's ability to train up their children the way they expect them to behave, or the way they want. The law is really the problem here, right?
Right.
And it's not that it's bad. Again, nothing is inherently good or bad. It just is. And the fact that the police officer did due diligence in figuring out, hey, she really isn't doing anything wrong here. Mm-hmm. And the lady ended up putting her shirt on after a while and just has made a big stink about it. She's got herself a lawyer. She's reaching out to lawmakers, all kinds of stuff. So who knows what will happen as a result of all of this, but it makes for good conversation.
Well, I think it does. And I'm like, I am so fascinated. I'm still trying to figure out my own mind in general, because I like the different points of view. I want to know what people think, because I can feel a lot of different ways about a particular thing. I am not a black and white person. It would make life so much easier if I was. but I'm interested in all the perspectives and what is uncomfortable for a parent who doesn't want this, and what is the purpose behind not wanting it? And I'm always fascinated. When things are okay and not okay, and when, well, my child doesn't need to see that. Well, the child is eventually going to see that. And I mean, I know there's the jokes about, you know, the however old kid who finally gets a girlfriend and she whips off her top and he sees boobs and he comes right away because, oh my God, there's naked boobs in the room.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And I mean, how unfortunate is that? Right. And
let's look at this too. What if it wasn't a mother with a child? What if it was, say, a couple, or even just a woman that was walking down the beach, mm-hmm. and perhaps her conviction or her lack of confidence in her own body, I mean, perhaps she's very critical of herself, or her self-esteem isn't where somebody else's might be. Maybe she felt very convicted at, you know, approaching this woman. What if she hadn't had a child?
Right.
Where is the line there? And that's the fear of, that's a fear of rejection. And here's where that comes down. What that comes down to is that as human beings, we are always in comparison mode. We're constantly looking at where somebody else is in comparison to us. We're judged. We have the proverbial yardstick that we're always measuring up against. And that's why social media is such a place where a lot of people lose a whole lot of contentment in their life, because they're constantly seeing all the positive moments that are put on and not as much of the negative side, and, you know, that kind of a thing. So they're always trying to keep up with the Joneses or whatever. So here you have this woman who's confident in her body enough to take her top off and sunbathe naked. And then you have somebody else who's coming down who may have just had a bad frickin' day, somebody who does not feel like her body is suitable to have their top off. Maybe you have somebody who walks by and is like, oh, hell yeah, I'll pull up a towel and be next to her. And then you've got a movement. It's like Alice's Restaurant. You know, if one person does it, then it's this. If two people do it, then it's that. But if five people took their tops off and laid on the beach, it would be a movement, you know? So where is the line? Because she was just one person. Mm-hmm. Does that make it okay?
Right.
Because it was one person with a child, does that make it offensive? Could it have just been just anybody could have called the police and said, hey, I know that on the other side, not at Park Point, but on the Wisconsin side, I forget what that beach is called, that there's often parties and stuff there. And a lot of people nude sunbathe there is what I was told in the past. But that it's not a nice beach. It's not kept up the way Park Point is. It's not as public, you know, it's more of a locals know where it is and how to get to it, that kind of a thing. So
it's kind of taken this, it's taken over the, well, nobody is there, so let's go utilize that, which then sort of also makes nudity this negative thing again, because.
Right. Right. Yeah. 'Cause it's shamed and shunned and compartmentalized. So, right. There are like nude campgrounds and stuff around, like Freedom Valley down the cities and Two Creeks, I think it's called, and Sandstone or whatever, where you can go and you can nude camp and things if that's really your thing, but that doesn't address the law.
Right, right. Well, and I think the law is, of course, an important piece of it in figuring out, well, what do these words mean? What is it? And that's what she's questioning, you know?
Yeah.
And I think just to your whole statement of, you know, why somebody would not be okay with her doing that and then approach her with it too. And I also think then culturally, it's also that piece that when... And I'd be curious to know if we had a culture where that was just a more normal thing. You can be with your top off or you could not be with your top off, whatever. Nobody cared. We didn't body shame people. So it didn't matter what size you were. It didn't matter how old you were. If people would be like, it would be so much more normal and everybody would feel a part of that group. I mean, I think I'd love to know how much moral people feeling like they're being moral really has to do with the fact that we're so, as women, if you're not perfect, and who thinks they're perfect, right? Like nobody. If you don't think you're perfect, that you're not part of that group, you don't get to do that, right?
And
you don't get to be part of that, right? So if everybody was just, you know, if it was just okay, and we didn't have like this total shaming thing about size and perfection and, you know, well, she's a model, so she can have her top off or be naked, but we don't want to see you other people who aren't camera ready. You know, I mean, that attitude, I think, comes out. We as women, we both put it on ourselves, but we also hear it. We feel it. We see it in media every day. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, even if you try to stay away from it, it's in the language. I mean, my God, I think it was, though this isn't about being topless, but I think it's just such a point when, you know, Bruce Jenner transitioned to Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. The coverage was so different. And I watched something where they were talking about how she was being judged on her clothes and her earrings and her presentation. And somebody was just like, welcome to being a woman. You know, this is something you never had to deal with as a guy. And I would love to sit down with Caitlyn. And how did that feel? Like, how did that feel when your news coverage just shifted? Because in some ways I could imagine it could feel good for her.
Yeah.
Being, of course,
validating the female.
Exactly.
That she wanted to be.
And she's a glamorous, you know, beautiful woman. So that's also helpful, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, if Chaz Bono went to Chastity Bono, you know, or I'm trying to think of a better example of a guy who maybe as a woman doesn't look as glamorous and, you know, camera ready in a sense, if that would also look and feel different as well.
Right.
And I know, you know, from hearing men who are trans speak that, and both directions actually, but I do think it's interesting the male perspective when somebody has been a female, of just the sort of anger of how much you realize in your life you gain by just having people, you know, accept you as a male. All of a sudden your world shifts and, you know, people listen to you and do things for you. And I think that's fascinating. So it's whole nother subject from,
yeah,
from
topless, but that has a lot to do with who you surround yourself with too.
Oh, I think that too. But I think we see it blatantly in the media a lot. And from guys that I've heard who enter a room, just their experience, you know, of how different it is. But it is a really interesting thing that we struggle with.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Well, I wish a lot of luck to that lady. And
yes.
I personally would like to be able to see some guidelines in the law that allow more possibilities for women, whether it's designated places like, I want people to be able to breastfeed their babies without it being awkward. I want people to be able to change their clothes without having to hide. You know, like if somebody's in a wet bathing suit and they want to get changed, why can't a woman just take her clothes off and change into another pair of clothes? I mean, like there's just situations where it would be very, very convenient.
Yes.
It would be very convenient. And I think as a country, we're to the point now where this is where the body, because of so much publicity being on awareness around your body and around the whole idea of body shaming, that it's time to just kind of let loose on some of this stuff and just be more accepting of the practicalities of our body as well. So logically, the morals of our country have changed in such a way that some of these antiquated laws really probably do need some shifting or some additional verbiage to make them a little more clear. And being an exhibitionist myself and loving to nude sunbathe and everything, and having to have found a piece of property on 10 acres in the middle of nowhere so that I could not have neighbors and I could be able to do that, that's something that I specifically looked for when I was looking to buy another house. So it would be nice to be able to be on your own property and not be having to worry about people saying you're being indecent. Being on your own property and being naked, regardless of whether you have high fences or not, you should be able to do that. Maybe not have sex outside for the sake of show, but you should be able to be naked on your property. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and that's, it's an interesting thing. Cause I'm thinking two things come up for me as questions about that. So if you're on a big property, and even if you're not, but if you are, and the mailman comes, you know, is that seen as a problem, or is it just you're on your property and sorry, dude, you know, whatever.
The mailman gets a show, or the mail woman can just shake her head. I don't know. I'm sure that it's happened to more mailmen and UPS drivers and FedEx drivers and whatever than people, pizza delivery people. I mean, people show up naked at the front door all the time. It happens a lot because I ask.
Right.
Inquiring minds want to know. So, I have inquired every UPS driver that I have met, and I've met quite a few after starting my toy and lingerie adventures and stuff like that. I was getting boxes delivered to my house all the time. Mm-hmm. So I would ask all the time because they're like, oh yeah, you'd be surprised some of the stuff we see. You'd be surprised. They get bit by dogs and they see tits all the time. So I guess you take the good with the bad. And hopefully your wife gets, you're turned on and you go home, you know, to your wife or your girlfriend and she gets the benefits of it later.
Exactly. Well, there was a meme on Facebook about somebody, it was a cartoon that basically was depicting, I think it was the Jehovah's Witness coming to their door over and over again. Mm. And so finally they just answered the door naked. That was the end of that.
There you go. There you go.
You're brave enough to do that. Rock on.
Yeah, absolutely.
you're in your own house. So, hey, you know, you don't know what you're going to get when you open the door. So, yeah. Somebody in a backyard where there's many more houses, you know, where you're living on a street with a bunch of houses. So from your house, you can see, you know, five houses from your place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be an interesting thing to have a little more
freedom.
Right, right.
Because we're in the land of the free, right? We're supposed to have freedom.
Only if you're a boy nipple, not if you're a girl nipple. If your nipples have more uses, I guess, then they must be covered up.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. It is crazy. It is a fascinating thing, and I am curious to see what happens with this because I think it's an interesting discussion to have. And my friend who was talking about him not being able to wear sleeveless shirts to work, as a guy, you know, he said it just seems like a small battle, like where there's many other battles to be fought that are much bigger. And I think that is true, but I think this is also a very tangible one.
Yeah.
So it feels important because it is just a basic freedom that women have to deal with every day. Like, I don't know if I could truly go around, like, see guys at the beach topless, and I think that just a burnt boob seem like a really bad idea, and I don't know if I would find that necessarily comfortable. Now, being a hot day in the shade, whole different story, you know. But to have the choice,
I like to be naked in the sun, and I like to not have tan lines, mm-hmm. and I like to. You know, the tan lines are the big thing because I wear so many different sundresses and that I just prefer not to have tan lines at all. And a strapless still gives me tan lines down here. And I wear a lot of V-cut type stuff. So I just prefer for my own aesthetics, I guess, to mm-hmm. just not, you know. But it's really funny because I tan the front side of me nude all the time, but do I ever lay on my tummy and tan my butt? No, because I do not like sunburn on my ass. So, and that's a good place to wrap this up. So the tits can show, but no butts. So
you got to
draw a line somewhere, right?
Right, exactly. And the other thing is sunscreen. Good, safe, high quality, non-toxic sunscreen.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. So can I just do a little plug? If there's anybody on here that is listening that has some issues around their body image, around judgment or acceptance of people and how they show up or how you're showing up, if you're curious about how to shift your energy out of perhaps a place where you're having some limiting beliefs around this topic of nudity, public nudity, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, please feel free to reach out. That's what I do. I am a sexual authenticity coach. So you can find information about me in the comment section, obviously, Patricia Engelking at thepowerexchange.co. So thanks.
Yes. And I'm just around to chat. I don't have any funky degrees, but I've taken a lot of sex classes, though. Does that count?
Sometimes these conversations stimulate thought that then makes people want to dive a little bit deeper. And that's really what this is. That's what my hope is that people will challenge themselves to think outside of the box, or maybe reframe their thinking around some of these things based on our more eclectic, fun, playful way of looking at some topics. So
you come at this on the 24/7 professional spectrum, which is great. And we will also on the website, we do have a place for people to ask questions. So if you have questions or even comments on a previous episode or something that we've said, please go to sexmatterspodcast.com and there will be a place that you can enter questions, and you do not have to enter your name. We will ask on that page what you want to be called. So if you want a reference name around your question or your comment, put whatever you want in there. Nothing is also fine as well, but that is something that you can you can do to both comment and ask questions, and then we can dive into those. And
wonderful. And Judy, we should mark this and follow up on this lady, because I'd really like to know what happens with her. So
yes.
So that was not the most graceful end to a podcast, but in our discussion, we ended up flying into something different with the discussion of the next episode. And so there you go. That's what happened. And I figured, well, that's the naked truth, which I guess kind of fits with the podcast or this episode. So there you have it. Instead of trying to cob something together and give us a false ending, I'm letting it be as is. Visit the website sexmatterspodcast.com to find more episodes, to sign up for the email list and get your PDF of positive sexual affirmations, and have that email coming to you so you don't miss any episodes. And of course, if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to tackle on the podcast, please feel free to send them in through that website as well. You can learn more about Patricia at thepowerexchange.co. That's .co. You can find her on Facebook at The Power Exchange or Patricia Engel King. Her book is called Crossing the River Called Suffering, and that is on Amazon. My name is Judy Brewer, and you can find my weekly health and wellness podcast called Wellness Renaissance at wellnessrenaissancepodcast.com, and information about me as well and my work at wellnessren.com. I have two quotes for you this time. One is by Kevin Bacon. There's something therapeutic about nudity. Take away the Gucci or Levi's and we're all the same. Intriguing, but I had to share this one as well. It bothers me that in this society, it's okay seeing a guy blow another's head off, but a child seeing Janet Jackson's boob at the Super Bowl is the worst thing that could happen. It's not the end of the world. It's just a breast, by Charlize Theron. So there you go. See you next time.